welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. There's this lady that says, this meeting's being recorded. We like that. So
she's a bit somber, though, isn't she? She could cheer up a bit.
Well, she should be happier, I think. I mean, I know the world's going through some sort of crazy time right now, but, you know, you're very, very good at helping people with, you know, running online meetings. And to anyone that doesn't know Martin is... someone I met on LinkedIn, actually, through a mutual connection of ours. And you run your own business, right? What do you do, Martin?
So I'm a communications consultant, or my official job title is impactologist, because when you're communicating with other people, a key thing that helps you succeed, yes, you've got to have your product, you've got to have your service, and you've got to have your offering, but nobody operates in a monopoly. It's all about buying into you. As Chuck D, the rapper, said, you know, before people buy from you, they've got to buy into you. They've got to build that trust, you've got to build that likability, you've got to make that impact so people want to work with you. So I specialize in that person-to-person and person-to-group communication, the human side of business, and helping people get that competitive advantage through superior communication skills.
Very good. And now it's even more important. I mean, yes, there's loads of technology out there. I mean, we're using Zoom today. I love Zoom. You can see I've got a virtual background on my green screen, whatever. But we're gonna talk firstly about remote working hints and tips, because a lot of the people that I know, certainly at Oracle, are struggling with working from home. At least some of them are. Yeah. So, I mean, from where I'm sitting, you know, I've been doing Tai Chi like nearly 25 years. So I used to teach Tai Chi. I know a lot about posture and things. And a lot of the time people forget that, you know, they need to have eye level screen. Yeah. All right. You might have a laptop. You might be only allocated a laptop if you're working for some of these technology companies because you're on the road a lot. Yeah. But the thing is, things have changed now. You're at home. You need to get whatever screen you've got, and you need to put it on some books, or you need to put it on a box, and you need to get it up eye level, yeah? So that your eyes, ideally, as far as I'm concerned, are the top of the screen, okay? Yeah. And then you basically need to get your chair set up, you need to get your desk set up, you really ideally need a keyboard as well, and you need a mouse, okay? Because if you're gonna have to use your laptop when you're actually using your screen, unless you've got a really, really big screen and your laptop will actually sit, the screen on the laptop will sit underneath your screen, it's difficult, yeah? But I mean, I have two screens. I've got two screens, I've got a TV, I've got a, you know, Harman Kardon system for my sounds, I've got a great webcam, I've got a microphone. You know, I've got everything set up. I've got a really nice desktop PC. But for a lot of people watching this, you don't have that right now. So you need to basically just go and find a couple of screens, yeah? They don't need to be the same size necessarily, but you need to have the right connections. So make sure your laptop's got the right connectors. You've got HDMI. You've got all sorts of these funny connectors. You might need to order, like, some sort of conversion cable if you don't have the right cable, yeah? So the main thing is, just don't get frustrated and realize that actually you're not going to die. Yeah, probably the chances are you're probably not going to die from working at home for a little while. And actually it's really good. It's really good for you. I've been working from home like you have for 10 plus years personally. Yeah. And once I got this desktop and I got these two screens and I got my Harman Kardon and my and everything, everything became a lot easier, a lot more relaxed. I've got a nice desk. It's really comfortable. But you still need to remember that you need exercise. You've got to start every day with some exercise, or at least go outside and take a break and have some exercise during the day. Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's my first bit of advice for anyone that's never really worked from home. Get set up properly. Be comfortable. Get your chair set up. Make sure you drink plenty of water as well.
Yeah. And your physical environment is very, very important. And even that's just like drinking water. You know, if you're doing a lot of talking on the phone, the vocal cords get quite a bashing. The throat's getting quite a lot of use. And clearly liquid helps, you know, keeps the voice, you know, the vocal cords moist so you can communicate well. Absolutely, you know, people are working from home. They may not have their ergonomic chairs that they have in the office. You know, you've got to have a good working environment to be able to perform well. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. But, you know, don't worry if you haven't got that chair. Yeah. Just take a kitchen chair and concentrate on your posture. I mean, in Tai Chi and in yoga and we have this thing where you hold your head up. I mean, you did karate, didn't you, from the last time we spoke?
I did karate, yoga, Pilates, you know.
So we have this invisible puppet string that we pull our heads up with, and that's how we need to be sitting. We need to be concentrating on, we don't want to hunch, we don't want to lean back too far, and we need to just sit up straight, right? But I think taking exercise is good. I've got my yoga mat here. I'll take a little break with that. I got this.
I see your dumbbell. I'll go one better.
16. It's a 16 kg kettlebell, man. It's killing me, yeah? Whew, it's hard. I just started lifting that again this morning after a break. It's killing me. So anyhow, that's the beginning of working from home. That's how, that, you know, this is only part one. We're going to do a part two. We may do a few more interviews around this as well, at Influential Visions podcast. So, you know, please subscribe if you're on any of these channels like Spotify or wherever, just subscribe. And we really appreciate your reviews if you are so kind to do that. But so, what do you think then about running good remote meetings then, Martin?
Yeah, well, a few years ago, I saw a really interesting piece of research from the Harvard Business Review, and they were looking at teleconferences back in those days, people doing teleconferences. How effective were they really? And they commissioned a huge piece of research and found really frightening statistics, like 65% of executives have admitted to doing other work whilst in a teleconference. 43% admitted to scrolling social media whilst on a teleconference. There are other things like going to the bathroom, online shopping, playing games. There's all these things that people admitted to because they could. It was possible. You know, you could do those and pretend to be there. So one of the things I always say to people around running virtual meetings, or even when the camera is on, is silence from the people that you're talking to does not equal understanding. It does not equal agreement, and it certainly doesn't equal motivation to act. So you need to use the technology that's available to make it as interactive as possible through the chat boxes, or people need to submit ideas or wave their hand, you know, electronically through the systems and say, I need to contribute or ask a question at this point. Because it's the interactivity that keeps that engagement. So I teach a lot of tools and techniques around how to keep it interactive, how to keep people engaged around working remotely, and particularly running remote meetings. Because not only have we got to think about the people who used to do it before, but now a lot of executives are having to do this for the first time. They're used to having the people in their office and just dropping by and asking them questions and having an open door policy or weekly or daily meetings. That's all gone. You've got to be able to recreate that and use the technology available to be able to have those same quality of interactions, but also alter the behavior. Because if you change environment, you've got to change behavior. Like I was born here in the UK. I know how to drive on the left, drive a car. I go to the continent, I go to the US. It's the same thing, but the rules are different. You can't shift environment and then expect to be able to operate as effectively. Now, the technology is great. We get that technology. That's like going to the States, right? We'll give you a right-hand drive car. Fantastic. But that's just a starting point. It's how do you use it well? All the features within the technology to be able to create that engagement, that interactivity. You can't just hand somebody the tech and go, there you go, that solves the problems. Because when somebody starts driving on the other side of the road, they need coaching in how to do that. What are the tools? What are the techniques? What are the strategies? So that is a real issue for people. But if there was that drop off in engagement for people who are used to doing it, how do people, leaders now, how do managers, how do team supervisors communicate effectively and keep people engaged through the medium of a technology? And I specialize in that whole human part about how to make the technology work and keep that engagement high.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. I mean, I think it's certainly very difficult with people at the moment being preoccupied, they're stressed, but I think actually getting stuck into your work is going to help you. It's going to really help you, but you need to exercise. You need to get that fresh air. You need to eat right. And you need some company. And unfortunately, you know, for people who live on their own, yeah, it's very difficult to get company. It's very, very tough right now. No one wants to see anyone. No one wants to do anything. Yeah. My dad's gone to his girlfriend's house and left his bin in unemptied. Yeah. I get this phone call the other day. Oh, you need to go and empty my bin. I'm like, well, you know, I just came back from abroad. Yeah. Like that was almost 7 days ago. I might still be infectious if I had something. Yeah. And then I'm thinking, well, what is the priority? Going to empty your bin that might actually smell in 2 months' time when you get back. Yeah. Or not. Right. And it's like, well, a whole priority list has changed. A whole list has changed. The things that we're doing now, we need to be definitely building new habits, but those new habits could be wrong habits. Yeah. So for example, sitting at your desk 8 hours, 10 hours straight is not what you should be doing. Yeah. You need to be, first of all, you need to think, well, okay, so I used to have back-to-back meetings. Yeah. Right. Back-to-back meetings are completely non-productive, yeah, because you need 15 minutes that's been proven every 52 minutes, yeah, this Pomodoro method. We're going to talk about that on the next episode. But, you know, it's been proven that these techniques of actually having proper breaks are really important to productivity, yeah? And, you know, maybe take a break in the middle of the daytime. If you're stressed out, you can't work because you're stressed. You need to take a break, a proper break. Watch a movie, watch an Amazon series. Yeah, like right now, I'm getting in. What am I getting into? This new biker gang thing, bikers in Australia. Yeah, I'm getting right into that at the moment. It's so cool. Yeah, it's badass, man. You know, but yeah. So to run good remote meetings, right? What do you need to do to start with?
Well, the first thing is that realize that it's not just a broadcast environment. You can't assume that people are paying attention. You got to have things in your strategy to keep people engaged and keep them being thinking about the topic and how it applies and what they need to do differently. And I put out a number of tools and tips on how to be able to do that. And it starts right at the start. So for example, when you're sending out the invite to the meeting, yeah, of course you send out the time, the place, the technology, the link. But I start to talk about the three P's that you must put into that initial output of the invite of the meeting. The first P being purpose. Why are we getting together? What is the purpose? Where are we? So it's like, I always say, it's like your GPS system. The GPS system needs 2 points of data before it'll work, where you are and where you want to get to. So your purpose needs to clearly articulate those two position points, where we are, what's the problem, why is it a problem, what are the things that are going to be caused by that, where do we want to get to, what's the upside of being there and achieving that particular result, and then like the GPS, how do we plot in between, what's the journey plan, and that's what we're going to be discussing. So the first P is purpose. The second P is pre-work. It's about what does that person need to do between the invite to the call and turning up at the call. There's no point in running a meeting to discuss ideas and people turn on their webcam and go, yes, so we're here to hear today, talk about X. How do we do that? Everybody goes, I don't know. And they're not, they haven't thought about it. So pre-work can be, look, we're going to be discussing this problem and I want each person to come up with two ideas about how we could do that. So straight off from the invite, people are starting to actually work before getting to the actual meeting. They're just kicking that around in their heads. So purpose, pre-work. Pre-work could also be a bit of research. It could be dividing out. Okay, so now you look after the Nordic regions. You do some research there. Martin, you take UK and Ireland. So it could be just, you know, this dividing stuff out and looking at particular trends. And then bring that research to the meeting. Oh, this is what I find out here. This is what I find out here. Yeah. And then you can pull all that. And the third P is participation. Saying to people, look, this meeting is going to be interactive. I'm going to be asking questions, or I'm going to be asking you to contribute the ideas that you've come up with or the research that you've actually done. And then when I communicate new information, I'm going to be asking you about how will that apply? What do you think? What would be your response in your particular geographical region or your team or your project? How will that work? So basically saying to people, this is not a passive experience. You need to pay attention, you need to be on board, and you need to really be focused and not just kind of drifting off and checking your email or checking your social media feed or getting distracted by another notification. We're going to get together, be focused, be on time, be really paying attention to that. So use the three P's method: purpose, pre-work, and participation, even before the meeting starts. Really get it set up and use the technology, flag how people can contribute, how they can wave, how they can do things, all the things that we said. Utilize the systems that are there to really achieve all of that. So the human and the tech working together.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, a lot of technology companies that I speak to, they're on high alert right now. I've spoken to quite a lot of people that certainly in the communications departments, in the PR departments, marketing departments, they are, because it's a degree of crisis communications, really, and actually responsible communication, is required right now. And this is very, very serious, yeah. And these meetings that people are going to are, you know, in most businesses, they are daily online meetings, yeah, because it's that serious right now. We're at a stage, I was talking to one of the big security vendors the other day, and she's in communications for the operations director of this huge, huge business, biggest, one of the biggest companies in the world. Yeah, I'm not going to mention who they are because that's not what I do. But, she was saying that she can't even plan a meeting with me next week to have a conversation because she's basically on high alert. So, you know, if something is going to happen, it needs immediate response. Yeah. But we're at a state right now where we've got a big mix up with who's advertising what. The agencies are running adverts that are completely wrong. You've got, it's a complete disaster, really, in terms of marketing right now, if you actually look at what's going on and what's out there. And that's why these meetings are even more important, prioritizing what actions need to be. I mean, come on. Yeah, you come on, guys. Yeah, really.
Well, I think it links back. There's a couple of things. There's certainly that ability to be agile, because, you know, things are changing very fast. You know, we have, certainly in the UK now, we've got that, you know, daily briefing. So here's the plan 24 hours later. You know that plan we talked about yesterday? Here's the tweaks. And that's going to be a constant. So we really need that creativity amongst people, and people having that energy and really being able to be prepared. I think that's where leadership comes into play, and about that strong purpose, that strong vision about where we're going to get to and how to be able to get there. And that creativity is part of that. And that links back to you're taking a break. And I've seen loads of research over the years that when you really sit hard and try and think about something, that very often it's hard to be creative. I have my best ideas elsewhere. That's why I've got a drum kit in the office. You know, if I have a problem, you know, I'm over there and I bash some drums for a bit and think about, and don't think about the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where that home environment, you know, can really, working from home, you can be a little bit wackier if you need to come up with, where do you get your best ideas? It's rarely sitting, staring at a PC, trying to come up with a good idea. And movement, and get up and move and get outside, walk around. That's where you can get some of your inspiration. But certainly leaders need to be able to inspire that amongst their teams. And and really get that creativity across and using the tech to be able to keep it interactive, keep generating ideas, and using the tech to be able to do that so people can keep communicating, because you get the snowball effect. You know, one person might say something that's not really relevant, but it might spark off an idea in somebody else. So that's, again, where you want to be able to use the tech, not just to broadcast, but keep it interactive with people. And that's really important, I think, yeah, as well.
Well, it's good when you can actually see them and then they can nod. Yeah, because I'm nodding. Yeah, I know I got a bit distracted because I got into this thing. I was thinking about, I wanted to find you this really funny thing that I read the other day. So yesterday, I think it was, or the day before, I found there was an advert on Facebook. Yeah. And it was the Daily Mirror with Lottoland UK, okay? And it said a St. Patrick's Day special, okay?
Yeah.
A £2 bet could win you a 5,400,000 Irish Lotto jackpot. Get 50 free spins too, okay? And I couldn't believe it. It made me laugh so hard, yeah? This woman's response, right? It was brilliant. So the first comment at the top, it said, imagine winning all that cash and being on a lockdown with only one loo roll and a pint of milk inside. Just classic. So it's like all of this wasted ad budget, yeah, is diverting people to these stupid comments, yeah. These utter fools are advertising this kind of thing, yeah, to prey upon desperate people. And that's really sad. I've seen Virgin doing this as well, actually. The other advert, I didn't see any of the responses, but the other advert that I saw, there have been all sorts, actually. There have been loads. I've taken screenshots of probably 10 adverts. There was Virgin Games, yeah? Get 30 free spins on Double Bubble, right, with a casino wheel image. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, like, what is that all about? Yeah, like we are preying upon people's desperation right now and manipulating them to gamble. Yeah. And I'm against supporting gambling. I don't support gambling at all, personally. My personal preference is I try not to work with gambling companies. But that's my own personal choice, yeah, ethically, you know, because I think that this is a major problem, yeah. However, you know, I've slightly digressed, right? But the thing is that these meetings should have outlined this sort of problem, and that sort of problem should have been outlined three, four days ago, and these adverts should have stopped, yeah, and they should have been worded better. Because you can put a spin on that, even if you put a spin on it, even if you're a gambling company and you're doing an advert like that, you can still have a bit of empathy and show some empathy. And right now, I mean, I think, yeah, running these meetings, these remote meetings, is super important. But obviously, with people working from home, we've got this issue with kids running around in some countries. I mean, in England right now, I think they're still going to school. I might be wrong. In some
schools. Yeah, no, schools are still open, yeah.
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before they're shut. But
well, I think they should have closed them a couple of days last week, personally. But that's my personal opinion, based upon what I've read in the MIT email that I get. You know, but it's like, we're in a situation right now where, you know, we have more time on our hands. Yeah. We have opportunities to speak to anyone pretty much in our network on the planet and have a call like this. Yeah. And, you know, right now I think there's opportunity, but you need to just change the way you're doing things. You need to open your mind up and say, well, actually, we need to get up to speed with some new skills so that we can take things forwards. Yeah? That's my attitude. What do you think?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, those advertisements there that you were showing, I think they're more creativity. Part of creativity is coming up with really horrible ideas, you know, because, you know, there's something there about where was the quality control? around, okay, that's an idea. Well, it's not necessarily a great idea. And certainly some of the stories that are coming through, I can't remember the name of the perfume company that's diverted all of their production now to producing hand sanitizer.
Oh yes, I've seen that.
Which I think is just amazing. And even Pret a Manger today on Twitter, I saw this, that if you're an NHS staff, your drinks are free and everything else is half price. And you think now that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, yeah, forget your troubles, go gamble.
Yeah.
I think, and those are, that's thinking creatively, but also having some quality control. And that's where, you know, using the tech and gather some meetings and quality control and bounce things off each other and having somebody saying, maybe that's not such a great idea. Have you thought about how that might look? And I think that those examples and possibly those poor examples could be the people just coming up with stuff and not communicating with other people because they're not around them. Maybe if they were in an office and said, hey, I've got this idea, what do you think about this? Somebody would go, nah, that's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they weren't jumping on technology and because they're remote working and checking it and communicating with other people, getting that quality control. Maybe that could be some of the reasons behind that. But certainly the remote working that we're doing, the tech enables us to still have that quality control, sharing ideas, snowballing, you know, use that, set it up as that, and not just as a one-way thing. That's definitely where I'm focused at as well.
Yeah, but also, you know, take some time for yourself. You don't need to be available all the time, yeah? You really don't, yeah? And, you know, something isn't, you're not going to die just because you didn't respond to a message 20 minutes ago, yeah? Like, I've got a message, yeah? I know what that message is about. I've just told someone that I'm going to be out of action and I'll speak to them between half 11 and 12 or just after 12, perhaps. Yeah. Because I said earlier, I was like, I'll speak to you at half 11. Yeah. So it's about communicating very carefully is actually part of it. And, you know, use emojis. I was reading something the other day about using emojis. Yeah. Because not everything warrants a phone call. Not everything warrants a conversation on video. However, if you think you're going to upset someone and you're going to, and they're going to misinterpret what you're saying, then you definitely need to take the time to put some emojis into your communication. Yeah. I mean, I did an interview the other day with someone about giving feedback. Yeah. Very experienced business guy, 30 years international experience all over the world, Sony and, you know, big roles in these companies. And I mean, literally we had a right laugh recording this. It's all about feedback. And, you know, he shared so many nuggets. And I said, well, isn't it important to just perhaps, you know, send an email and when you send it, make sure you put an emoji in there and stuff. He said, well, if it's something like giving feedback, you need to speak to the person on the phone is what he basically said, or in person, because the miscommunication is what is going to cause a lot more of these problems as far as I'm concerned. And yes, we're all worried about the state of the world and everything else, but let's just get on with it. We're British, right? We need to get on with it. That's my attitude.
Okay. I'm Irish. So let's get on with it.
Well, I'm half American, so that's why I'm wearing a hoodie and a hat. Yeah. But look, it's been really, really interesting to speak with you. And we're gonna get part two of this out there for next week, I think. Where are we now? We're Wednesday, aren't we? Yeah. So I think part two, we may get it out there for Saturday, but I think we'll try and do that for next week. And it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. So if anyone wants to run better remote meetings, how do they find you?
So there's lots of information that I put out on LinkedIn. That's my preferred platform. So you put in my name, Martin Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, and the word impact. You should find me pretty quickly, or on Twitter, at impactologist, two T's in the middle. And there's plenty of information out there, and you can get in touch with me about how to run better remote meetings in this world we're in right now.
Super. And you can always drop me a message on LinkedIn or here on the website, wherever you find us. And it's been superb. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.